the fro, roundy outside, roundy outside, roundy outside. Girl with the fro, roundy outside, roundy outside, roundy outside, roundy outside, roundy outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Tinfoil's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Da 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 da. It is a new year and a new desire to put out and create better content. Hi, this is Felicia Baxter recording from my new spot here on Forest Avenue in my creative, I think it's CQM, creative quality mailing, because I want 1 million downloads and 1 million listeners. I haven't really rebooted it that much. I'm still going to be talking about COVID shenanigans, what I'm watching, what I'm eating, and my own stuff. And not necessarily in that order. So I hope you will enjoy this episode as much as I have enjoyed creating it. And have a great day. This is exactly what coronavirus is telling us. It ain't over. And y'all bullshitting like it's this shit's over. It ain't over. So for every mask mandate, every anti-vax parade, every single person that thinks it's over and everything that you do to orchestrate attack on sanity, you're going to pay for it. Either by history judging you stupid or somebody that's close to you getting extremely ill when they don't need to. It's not over. It really is not over. So as I've said throughout this episode and previous episodes that I record, Tifra was reading at multiple parts of the week. Some weeks it seems that I have more time than others. And it's just so that this week, this last portion, COVID shenanigans, Tim Froh is reading, eating, and watching, and actually writing and creating, is coming on a Thursday because I plan to edit or splice together all of these sections and then send it into Brighton Media for final audio editing. But with that said, this week has been trying because I've come to the determination that I would rather be reading and creating my podcasts and researching topics and creating loosely scripted portions of the podcast. If I had a sponsor, then if I had time to go after a sponsor, but then I could make just as much as I'm making now in my day job, then I could be floating in my pool, play with my dog, and then sit down to research and interview people and create snappy portions of the podcast. But I don't have that as a luxury. And it seems that people that think they are familiar with me don't realize how much and of value my time is, and that my creativity and my love of the written word and story shouldn't be a penalty to why I don't tolerate stupidity, no planning, and why my background is because I can take a punch, I can take a body blow better than anybody. And it's either you get succinctness or you can get the smoke. You don't want the smoke, so you rather me just be succinct. And if you can't handle that, then poo-poo on you. I'm tired. I'm so tired of people in general. And I call it social anxiety, but one of the things that COVID has taught me or allowed me to be is a hermit.
And I don't have to explain, and I won't explain, why it's so much easier for someone like me to be in my house. There is no reason for me to leave. Most of what I need, I can get delivered, or I can arrange it that I can go order, pick up, in and out, and keep it moving. Or better yet, I can make it myself and I don't have to risk dying. Two things, COVID shenanigans. An acquaintance of mine lives in Steamboat. He and his wife are vaccinated and boosted. Masked, didn't get a haircut, was going to donate his hair, get a haircut, and donate his hair for charity. That's how long his hair has gotten. Yes, this is a white dude. And tested positive for COVID. I think it sucks because we almost 3 years into this shit. You mean to tell me that what makes me think that this shit ain't over is because dude, after all of that, went into a restaurant and had his mask and wash hand and everything, sat down, took the mask off, and some nutbag, probably up in that bitch, cough, sneeze, or the waiter licked some shit, and now he's COVID positive. I know me and my big ass, if I get the COVID, I will die. So with that said, I'm on one right now, how I can still experience the world on my terms without putting myself or my dog at risk. That's all I'm into right now. I feel so bad for him and his wife. He has to be on isolation, and you can be 3 years into this shit and still get fucking sick. And it all didn't have to happen. And that's good. So if you see me, so as this part is called COVID shenanigans, Tim Froze reading, eating, drinking, I'm actually drinking probably one of the best drinks I've had in a minute. This is a cucumber cordial infused pea pod gin, botanical gin from Empress 1908. And it was probably one of the best accidental purchases I had from MJ's Liquor, and it's so good. I actually made my cucumber and lime cordial, and I think it's probably one of the best beverages on the planet. But that's it. We still have people like, what's his name, DeSantis, berating some teenagers in Florida for wearing a mask during one of his dumbass speeches. Number one, I would not have you talk to my kids crazy. And number two, he says the masks aren't doing anything. Bitch, what are you fucking talking about? All of those kids have a properly fitted surgical mask or N95. The studies show that the shit works. What the fuck are you talking about? And why are you allowed to still be dumb? That's what I don't get. I just don't get. We're 3 years into this shit, and we got dumbasses in politics still spreading this shit. That's the only reason I hate this war with Ukraine. But at least it deflects from the stupidity of the American government and every single politician. If I had my druthers, all of the Republican governors, all y'all motherfuckers need to be nuked. You really do. Because if you just can't come back from dumb. You just really cannot. And y'all have gotten me to the point now that the numbers are going down and the mask mandates are rolling back. But it doesn't matter. I'm still wearing my bedazzled mask. I'm going back and seriously thinking about how to live as an expatriate, and where's the best place to do that? How can I be a hermit and people leave me the fuck alone, and I can take my dog? That's from grief. So, the good news, the numbers are going down. That sad news is we got people like the dumbass governor still popping off and berating kids for doing what he needs to do. And what it just basically tells me that the government, really, there's no safety net. And we got a bunch of people in charge that don't give a shit about us. So, and that's why a chick with a fro and expat with a dog, I'm thinking about how to work all of that out. And also, you know, the bottom line is, I love my home, I love my house, and the idea of being able to swim every single day because it's been unseasonably warm, it has been such a blessing. The mobility and just the freeness of being able to swim is wonderful. But I would take swimming in Biarritz and the bathhouses of Paris. I'm hopeful that they have bathhouses. I could get with that. But what I know I can't get with is the hypocrisy that is being here in the U.S. Y'all dumb. And y'all dumb as hell. And it trickles down to every walk of society. Every single day, I realize just how different I am from everybody else. And there is no reason for, there's no reason for me to want to assimilate without losing myself. I'm such at the point where I'm just getting to know myself, and for me to have to give all of that up just to go along, to get along, those days are over. So, now, what am I reading? I really am reading, y'all. I very much promise that I am reading. And this is Women History Month, and in celebration of Women History Month, I've actually been adding other Black and banned authors to Tenfro. I actually created a whole new book list or list of books specifically for my podcast. So it'll help me to remind myself what to read. You can always navigate to Chatterbooks at bookshop.org and find these books. But I did not know until I followed somebody's blog that Terry McMillan has still been very active. And she says, and she has written a book, It Is All Downhill From Here. It seems like it's interesting. It dropped back in 2020, and it says, after a sudden change of plans, a remarkable woman and her loyal group of friends try to figure out what she's going to do with the rest of her life. Kind of along the lines of waiting to post bail and how Stella got her groove back. People says it's poignant, funny, and full of life. This is the balm for troubled times. And Loretha Curry's life is full. She has a booming career. She's 68, looking fly, kind of like Angela Bassett does in real life. And then all of it, it just basically changes on a dime. How I Survived a Chinese Re-Education Camp, a Uyghurs Woman's Memoir. And yes, there are concentration camps in China. They keep saying re-education camps, and they are concentration camps. The Chinese are going to pay for that in spades. And How to Be a Revolutionary. I did the violin conspiracy as well as My Uncle Napoleon. But I thought I added in every mirror Oh, In Every Mirror, She's Black, by Lola Akerstrom. This is just paying homage to the African diaspora. These are four women or three women that are linked by unexpected ways to the same influential white man in Stockholm. As they build their new lives in the most open society run by the most private people. And it basically lays to bear that even in this society, there's racism, there's classism that keeps these women on their grind. So I think that's going to be a very good read. And I'm adding it to the Ten for Always Reading podcast book editions, as well as For Us, By Us, and Book Club Picks, because I think these people, or this is one of the books that you basically should be reading. In addition to this book, I'm going to showcase The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, as well as the pick by, that's homegirl's name, Waiting to Post Spells, Arthur Terry McMillan. To showcase on my Facebook book club, because all of these books have its place in our lives, and it's one of the reasons why I started the podcast, as an alternative way to entertain myself, but I didn't know that I was going to be bringing other African-American artists, as well as showcasing my own works and my own thoughts, but other from across the diaspora to a more discerning audience. So I suggest, and I'm hopeful, that you navigate to the podcast notes, as well as to Chatterbooks online and Facebook, to get the skinny on these books and to discover other books that you may want to actually add to your own library. And as I mentioned, the drinks, what I'm drinking, I've made some. If you navigate to my Facebook feed, Instagram feed, you'll find that this week was angel hair pasta top with broccolatini and scallops. Y'all, I had no idea that blanching broccolatini in lemon and salted water will remove all of the bitterness. I also didn't know that perfectly searing on all sides beef short ribs and then finishing them in an oven at low and not adding too much water will allow them to become, it decreases shrinkage, and you will end up with some of the most tender beef short ribs on the planet. You'll have people salivating on your posts and wanting to lick their screens. Because I think if I'm going to give the best reels of my life, I want people to wish that they have smell-o-vision, because when they see my food post, they should either want to try to find out how can I make this, or if I can eat my phone, will I have the same experience as the person that posted? And how cool is that? And that's where I'm going to end this section on a positive note. There's COVID shenanigans, there's what I'm reading and what I'm watching. If you gotta watch something that just makes you wanna laugh, Madea's Homecoming is probably one of the best things. There's nothing social construct or protesting on it. It's Tyler Perry at his worst, but Madea at her best, with those lace fronts laid down perfectly. And they weren't trying too hard with a slapstick comedy. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've started binge watching Billions. I'm in it because white folks behaving badly, getting away with it, then getting played. I'm with it all day long. Gilded Age, the same thing. And of course, I'm watching, it's Thursday, so I watched Star Trek Discovery. I don't know about the DMA and the source of the energy and all about the peace and how the perception of this, the 10C, which is the race that they're trying. That's the race that evidently has the DMA.
I have a feeling that the DMA has something to do with not just survival of the race, but it's a remnant of what's left over of a race that probably doesn't exist anymore. Kind of like the Iconians. These bitches don't even exist, but they have such powerful technology, but the technology couldn't save them. I think that's what they're going to find out. Or they are, in particular, they have so few people that everything that they're gathering is to preserve the young at risk of the older people or the older beings dying. I think it's something similar to that. I am going to then navigate also to stop on a positive note because Star Trek Logs is probably one of my favorite post online. And is Book and Detmer this week? What Book got to say? He getting on my nerves for this section. Bitch, you can't go home because you ain't got no home. Quajon's gone, girl. Stop it. Go home to Discovery? No, because that's not going to happen. You're going to be court-martialed, I'm just saying. And I think I may have played that last week. That was Lieutenant Commander Detmer, who is a crack shot pilot. Also, just alluding to last week's post or publication, they or she is a queer woman, and it seems like for the most part, with the exception of Michael Burnham, all of the crew basically came out in Out magazine. It's none of my business anyways, and I'm glad that not only are they so diverse, the crew so diverse, but from a gender and a sexual preference aspect, it's very much diverse than probably any cast of the Star Trek universe. So kudos to them. But she's referring to the Edge of the Universe from last week, and they basically had to navigate some obvious obstacles without destroying Discovery. But now they're on what Book alluded to is now they're on this, well, Burnham, Detmer, Saru, and the Fine Doctor are on this abandoned planet. And they experience a presence there in what they gather is a nursery. And it's just the remnant of the essence of peace and warmth, and how the doctor of Discovery, who is also their psychiatrist, he's having his own struggles while he leads the rest of the crew through theirs. Not for nothing, but then Book and Crazy Man come back to Discovery, and they get discovered. And they are on one mission to destroy this thing, and the Discovery crew's on the other, and you know they're going to collide in some stupid kind of drama, which is probably all preventable. But you have to say the action, the CGI, the technology is brilliant. The writing sometimes can be a little bit stilted and kind of stupid. But it's Star Trek. It's Star Trek, so it's not like it is a Tony Award-winning, Oscar-nominated. But I do think the technology and some of the set design is worthy of an Oscar. And I love the music. And so from that standpoint, I do believe that Discovery is probably one of the best of the Star Trek universe as far as from a technology standpoint. Picard is getting ready to drop in about another week, I think. Or did it already drop? I'm going to have to check. I'm just getting caught up on all my binge watching as I binge the first several seasons of Billions. This show in itself, as I said, It is not as disturbing as Euphoria. And if this Danny Axelrod wasn't so smart, it definitely isn't Chomp, because Chomp is a dumbass, and I think he's dyslexic. And, but I'm looking at the girl that, the female that is the dominatrix, that is the psychiatrist. It could be Mary Trump, you know, if she actually didn't get cast out of the family. It would have made sense because she would have been able to direct him. But if you're a narcissistic sociopath, you don't think you need that much help, or you need any help, and your flawed hunches are what should be right, and everybody should roll with it because you said it so, even though they're dead ass wrong. But who knows? This seems more like BlackRock and the other successful hedge funds. It can't be the Trump organization because those people over there are too stupid. But I do like watching white people wild out and then get caught up and then get jailed up. So there you go. So that's how I'm going to end this. What I'm watching, eating, reading, and everything in between, and COVID shenanigans.
So I was not going to say anything of this. I'm so tired, y'all. I want so bad to be a podcaster of positivity, but I can't. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm sitting here, the State of the Union, and I'm so mad. There's nothing they can say that's going to make this right. It's going to be okay. I'm so sad. I want it to all end. I want everybody to stop lying. I want the Republicans to stop saying they are more interested if they're all interested in everybody else. I want the Democrats to just stop lying. I want everything in Ukraine to stop. I want us to be together, but I don't want people to lie. That's all I want. I'm so sad. I don't want to cry. I don't want to be sad. I want to be hopeful. But I know everybody's out for themselves. I don't want the people to suffer. I don't want us to suffer. I don't want this. I'm tired. I'm so tired. I don't want people to say things or to be things just to increase their clicks or their steady the polls. This fool has nothing to do with gas prices. It has nothing to do with any of that. I'm so sick. I just want us to just dial back 4 years and go back to hope. 8 years of President Obama and even 8 years of Clinton. This is so hurtful. I just want to be play with my little dog and swim. But I can't because there's so much to do. I'm so sad. I can only watch the first few minutes of the State of the Union, and then I'm going to have to get the highlights because I cannot. I can't watch this. It's too much. I can't do the lies. I'm going to pause here. At least Nancy Pelosi, I dig her. And everybody's applauding. We need a war to have solidarity. We had a sociopath that's doing it all. I'm so angry for us. I'm so angry that we let him come in. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry. I beg of all of us, we can't want change so much that we will allow a sociopath to lead us, because a sociopath can't lead. Somebody that's so opposite of what where we should be. For the first time, being calm, I just want it to be. So I'm going to sit here and watch him talk. We saw Nancy Pelosi throw shade. I love this. I can't. I am so proud of us right now. And even though I'm a mess, and even though I know I want all of this to end, I know we're going to get through it. And calm is going to prevail. I'll listen. And I'll have a clap back at the end. Because I'm not going to be able to listen to these Republican fools say anything about this. But I'll basically re-look at this, and the adult that I am, and after Ethel, she even calmed because she know I'm not happy right now. But I'll go to sleep. Hopefully, I'll wake up. I know there's a war going on, and there's a possibility of being called up, but you can't just roll up and spot his country and take it. That's the other thing. You can't, in the middle of a pandemic, say it's over when it's not clearly over. You can't do your dirt and just let people, and then see people are not going to do what they need to do. I have a feeling. What's his name? Pauly and Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're going to be not in the House because they refuse to get tested or they won't wear a mask. But fuck them. We already know they are fully vaccinated and boosted, and they just posturing. This is amazing. To me, we only know the Ukrainian ambassador because the Russian bullshit, the Russian bastards are attacking our country. I can't. The only snuff film I want to see right now is the inner circle of the current Russian administration taking out their own sociopath, because it has a too much. And maybe I'm a black carrot, and I think that you can't roll up on people and tell them and take away things that they have built, because they told you to kiss their ass for 30 years. Maybe that's, I'll be her. You gotta go away. I'm so praying for somebody in Russia to stand up and say no more. there is no treatment for a sociopath, you gotta take his ass out. And I woke that the same people of America know the same. We can't do this. We shouldn't do this. You, even though it's okay for some, anybody to be president, but not everybody need to be president. If we could have this old senile mug, we had Reagan. We could do okay with Biden. Y'all need to leave him alone. I'm just saying. But what I do know, I'm going to sleep because I can't think or just be tired of people pushing other people around for what? Because they want it and they're willing to destroy the world. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. The truth is, you can't hide behind anything anymore. Your own people got you all blast. Please stop. Somebody just stop it. Because I can't from Tennessee. Please stop it. Please stop it. And I support people of Ukraine, even though I feel powerless to stop it. My heart goes to you. I pray for your strength. I pray that you repel this. I pray that people will continue to support you to exist. Days like today, you can forget that you absolutely have a daytime job, and it makes you thankful that you in fact do have this job to be able to support a passion project. But also it comes to a point where people try to use what they know about you in some negative way. I'm glad I have a creative outlet. I'm glad that I'm not so crazy that I really need professional help. And I think having a unrestricted, to a certain extent, creative outlet is going to be my survival for the next several months, next several years, or just daily survival. I always am counting my blessings because I could have been and probably should have been dead. I should have never been able to survive the type of abuse and the type of, or just the lack of support from people that are the closest to me. But big shout out to my Aunt Melody and my Aunt Sandra. The biggest cheerleaders and the biggest supporters of my life living now. I look with awe in the strength and the fortitude of the people over in Ukraine because they're in a mad crisis. I try to source my updates about the crisis because news media here can be very more just for clicks, and they can report incorrect things, and it seems like the Times Free Press is a day or two behind on anything for whatever reason. And I don't look at any of the more conservative news agencies anymore. I think a lot of people have cut back on their viewing of the way of the world from CNN. I'm looking at direct posts from the good people of Ukraine and President Zelensky directly himself. I look towards the BBC and other news agents in Sky, or I think Sky News is BBC, or even The Guardian. And if you hear me chewing, it's because this is my lunch period. I'm signed out. of my work computer. And I'm enjoying the most perfectly cooked ramen topped with broccolatini and the most tender beef short ribs, thank you very much, that I allowed, I had sprinkled with meat tenderizer. I seared them perfectly and then baked them low and slow without overcooking. Didn't add too much water because I didn't want them to boil. I wanted them to kind of broil and bake to the good richness that they are. And so I'm sitting out on my back porch under the sun enjoying a great lunch while I'm doing this recording. Multitasking at its finest. Sorry for the slurping. Why am I talking about Ukraine and my gratitude? It seems there has an insult or an assault on my free time, my time, as well as people trying to dictate who I can contribute to and should contribute to, etc. So, and I bring this up is because it seems like there's a double whammy. People that are in my life really have gotten it twisted in how trying to use either guilt or our connection or a familiarity with me that seems to be friendship, where I only count about maybe five people that I absolutely like, five people, and I only count like maybe two people, maybe three, and maybe four people as friends. So that's where, let's just start there. Familiarity. Don't mistake your familiarity with me for friendship. There are a lot of people that may be familiar with me from social media or because we had some type of interaction, may have been positive, may have been negative, but that's it. We're not, if I haven't truly said that we're friends, we really aren't friends. So that's number one. Number two, I'm not used to Molly Coddling and I'm not used to anyone. I don't give a shit how long you've worked somewhere. I don't give a shit how long you've been in Tennessee. It's not my problem. All I know is I will continue to do the job that I'm hired for. Everything else is extra. And I'm not going to, I don't know how not to be direct. If you want, just because I don't comply with a ask, is that being difficult or is that being rude? Not really, because it's just you ask me a simple direct question and I'm gonna ask and answer you directly. There's no Molly Coddling and I'm not going to be, I don't bend over backwards to suit someone else's lack of preparedness or things changing. That's just not me. That goes for my professional life. It goes more so for my personal life. Now, if you ask me, you want to dictate where and when and how I donate my money, you got something else coming too. There has been billions dedicated from the U.S. and its allies to support the Ukrainian offensive, and I'm for that. I hope that they utilize it effectively and they repel the bully from Moscow. I don't think that Trump would have, I absolutely firmly believe if that fool had been in office, not only would this have been handled completely incorrectly because we had alienated NATO. I think if he had continued in office, the invasion would have happened last year. And I'm willing for people to leave in my comments you know, why they either disagree or agree with that. But if it if you come off trolly, I'm not going to read it. But I'm interested in finding out. And I'm absolutely going to ask that question. In the episode. Because as this is published on Anchor, I get the opportunities to either insert polls, not in my blog posts, but also in the episode itself. I think I'll put that question in the blog post, and a reason why. Everything that he did was, and that administration did, was to appease Putin. So both sociopaths can ride off into the sunset when that wasn't the case. Putin wants dictatorship. He needed his minions to be installed in most of the world effective governments. But even China is a little shifty, but they can't even overtake China, the other largest power on the earth. They can do this subterfuge and subversion all over the world, but God allowed that fool not to be here, because the world is watching. And when you can't control when people have their eyes covered, that's just not a possibility. And I do believe, and I'm happy that all of the world leaders are stepping up. Everybody, and even all big oil and a lot of these major companies like Apple are pulling out and boycotting them. As I said, you can fight a war by hitting people in the pockets. You don't even have to expend any ammunition. How crazy is that? What I do resent out of all of this is people stepping to me, trying to direct me and how I who I should donate to and charitable donations. Don't you got to understand, every time I tolerate and sign in and earn the money that I do make is on my own volition. I'm going to get annoyed if you're going to mess up my bag, but I'm going to try my hardest not to mess up my bag. With that said, my money is hard earned. What I choose or choose not to donate to is my own damn business. Also, I don't have any kids. I haven't been able to have kids since 2015. Total hysterectomy and taking the ovaries out have changed all of that. And I have no desire to adopt. So don't ask me to donate anything, my time or money, to your mealmouth kids. Because I don't have any nickel in that dime, and I don't care. Also, don't ask me to donate to some janky GoFundMe where there are grammatical and syntax errors in the title and the ask. I will not. But what I will donate to and suggest that if you want to donate, people that are doing a damn thing on with boots on the ground are organizations like the Red Cross of Ukraine. You can go and navigate to the American Red Cross's homepage and donate directly to that organization, as well as World Central Kitchen has stepped up in so many disasters, and it blows my mind the effect of this. Here stateside, as well as being on the border, meeting people where they are, making sure that they have a good meal. These are the types of organizations you can donate to: WCK.org or World Central Kitchen. Their story is is very encouraging, and this is the type of work that I would like to continue to support. And if people want to know, these are the types of organizations. These organizations are vetted. Not only are I've been a part of the American Red Cross as a volunteer after Hurricane Matthew went in North Carolina, I was at, and I've heard and been heard about the news and read up for myself and research for myself, World Central Kitchen. I dig it because Jose Andres is an amazing chef. He don't take no shit. And he also is a creative genius. And he has taken the money donated, I believe, by Jeff Bezos, and is using it effectively to bring relief to the world in his vision and the way he sees fit. And that is why, and you need to support organizations that continue to do that. And that's who I will support. I'm not just going to donate my money, my own heart or money, just because you asked me to. It doesn't work that way, or at least in my mind, it doesn't work that way. And I'm tired of people asking me to donate to some cause because they feel passionate about and I have no interest in. Also, I also want to just continue to give thanks to people that do listen to the podcast. I hope you will learn something. I hope you will research these organizations. And I'm also hopeful that you will share. It'll encourage you to donate, and also you share with other people so they can donate to not only these organizations, but other worthwhile cause. And realizing that the life, you lead a life that, and you do things that are bigger than any one person or bigger than you, and you just keep it and you pay it forward. And I think I'm also one of those people that my experiences, I am a amalgamation of my experiences. And be very cautious when dealing with me, because I will give you a direct question. So my thing is, if you don't want a real answer, don't ask me the question. But I'm only going to share enough of my background or my who I am or what, as if I think I need to. And going forward, if it's what you need, it's a, my life is a, on a need to know basis. Don't mistake familiarity with friendship. And I will, and if you, I will encourage you to continue to do your own research, and just to firm up your mind and increase your knowledge base, because you never know what information you're going to be asked and you are going to be need to use to create your next episode. I think everybody needs to try to own the narrative. Create it, don't create it, and always be prepared to move on. And don't be afraid to move on. That's what I encourage today. Keep learning and always be prepared for your next episode. You know why nerds rule? Nerds rule because we try to figure out shit for ourselves. So Reese Witherspoon and a couple of other book readers have stores as well, very elegant stores and very elegant apps. I think Oprah may have an app too, but there, I think neither one of them has the wherewithal or the coding experience to develop these apps. So me and my ingenuity, I was like, is there an app to create an app? And there are AppyPie and Apper, but the apps that they create are kind of janky, especially Apper. So I am in the process of creating an app specifically to bring together my blog and Instagram and my merch store as well as Chatterbooks. Because I don't think specifically that, I wonder if there is a book bookstore.org where that host or host my online bookstore, but that will also allow me to basically target my own online bookstore. Because I think that's where it is. You can get, I want, but I also want to feature my own merchandise from Tenfrow is Reading, as well as all of the Star Trek and other advent candle calendars, as candles and old DVDs that are available for purchase now on Chatterbooks. So that is, when you are a nerd and you know you're a nerd, but I have no coding experience, and I also don't have the hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop an app as elegant as Oprah's book club or Reese Witherspoon's book club, but I want the look and feel of it, I'm going to find a way to cobble some shit together. And I will keep you guys updated on my efforts, because I think there is a way, there should be a way to create exactly what I want, but I don't have to spend $500,000 or $250,000. Just saying. You know, I figure I spend so much time on Twitter and Instagram, I should make it work for me. And my comments about as a social critic or critic of society or grumpy old black lady needs to be at least founded in some fact. So here we go. This week in Black Excellence, I'm talking about this woman ain't even black. She's actually just an old school Ukrainian woman who basically just went off fresh outer for Russia. She berates him, and then she hands him a bag of sunflower seeds. This is so gangster. You got to watch this whole reel on D.L. Hughley. And then Trevor Noah is stupid. So basically, she hands him the sunflower seeds and say that she will be able to know based on where the sunflowers actually spring up or from his dead body. I can't make this up. Truth is more crazy than fiction. And the resolve of the Ukrainian people is just exemplified in this act of rebellion. You know, if I saw something like this, why don't they just pull back? But this probably only makes a sociopath bully like Putin even madder, because this basically shows that even the least or supposed weak are willing to give it up just to go gangster on or ham on them. Big ups to Grandma Ukraine. She's fresh out. Y'all better not mess with that lady. Also, this is Women History Month. I have a couple of black actresses that I wanted to give a special shout out to. This is Anjanou Ellis. She played the mother in King Richard. She was nominated. She has been nominated, I think, for both a SAG and an Oscar. But if you haven't watched it, King Richard, you basically can't not watch her and know what she has done throughout her her very long and honorable career. And also, today's her birthday. And as I've said multiple times previously, if you haven't listened to previous episodes, I've now gotten to the habit of recording the podcast in parts, and it's just so that today that I've had extra time, and I feel very encouraged that it's such a beautiful day, and I've just gotten so much, what do they call? There's a creative energy flowing through Forest Avenue that's allowing me to basically record the podcast, and I get positive or negative energy, whatever it is, I basically am compelled to create these podcasts. So big ups to her, Anjanou Ellis, for this Wednesday, February. What's today? Excuse me, it's March. I just remembered that, March 2nd. I was just saying to myself, it's already March. We're having this unseasonably warm day, and this is like I like days like this in the South where it's just clear, where it's not too hot, there's a breeze, and I had to move it inside because the bugs were even out. They don't know. The wasps don't give a damn that it's still winter. They just gonna fly around and try to sting people. So I'm out with a fresh bottle of Raid. I got something for these yellow jackets asses. I'm just saying. Also today, I'm also giving mad homage to Patricia Bath, who invented laser eye surgery back in 81. She's 1981. She's still only 76 today, and she's still living. She also amazing African-American woman. So big shout out to her. Also, before I get into that, the next section, I also wanted to comment on messiness on the red carpet or outside of the SAG Awards. I didn't watch it this year, or I never watched it. I'm only interested in it because I'm hopeful that one day I will either be a presenter or be an honoree. That's what I can hope for, that because I'm just that crazy. But Will Smith won a SAG Award and gave a very emotional speech, giving honor to Anjanou Ellis, as well as the other co-star that played Venus, a young Venus, and Serena Williams. But everybody knows about Red Table Talk. Everybody knows about the relative openness of the Smiths' marriage. They also know, because it was widely in the news cycle, about Jada Pinkett Smith's indiscretions. But how could it be an indiscretion if everybody knew about it? It played out because somebody else caught more feelings than what the relationship basically called for. So in a gaffe, Laverne from Orange is the New Black fame basically said something to the effect of she's looking forward to more Red Table Talk. And I really don't like, because I know other people do a job, I'll put it that way, either good or bad, of spilling the tea. And so when I saw this, I had to look at what Laverne Cox basically said. So listen to this and see what y'all. And she said it, but it's basically, it looked like Will and Jada laughed it off. But then you get all of these responses. It's like Instagram and Twitter blew up and said it was, and Vivica Fox on Queens said it was just tacky. But I don't know if I kind of agree that probably wasn't the moment to throw shade, or was it shady? I don't think it was just the right moment for any of those things to be said, because for one instance, their openness or semi-open marriage has been the talk of years. It's the worst kept secret in Hollywood. But if he just had focused on other things, I don't think, and I kind of agree, we were there to celebrate this great work of art. And if they had just kept it at that instead of all this other personal crap, that's what should have been the focus of that night. Not Red Table Talk, not entanglements, none of that. So that is, in a way, is tacky. But do we care, really? Because we know about the entanglements. They've talked about the entanglements. They've seemed to have squashed it. Why y'all keep bringing it up? That's the other thing. Why y'all keep bringing up old news when they obviously have moved on from it? They're still together. They must have worked it out. And if even if they haven't, it ain't our business unless they choose to share it. So there you go. And that's so weird. I end up with a bit of a respectability as far as my blackness and end with some ratchetness, because I couldn't pass this section by without mentioning the shade of it all, or really the who cares of it all, because we shouldn't care about other people's business. So that's how we're going to end this episode, and I'm going to end it with a positive word. I used to scoff at people making this statement, because of its simplicity, or maybe because it sounded more like an admonishment that I was being everything but kind. But then when I started investigating it for myself, that's when I realized that I was confusing politeness with kindness. Politeness is a fake, superficial manner in which there's no required investment, no self-reflection. But being kind is an adjective. It is an action. If you're kind to yourself first, it's like exercise memory. You will continue and be kind to others. Let that sit with you for a while. I'm going to try to be kind to myself. I'll be kind to others. It's very simple, and you got to repeat it. Lean into the spirit of a new year by counting your blessings, giving to others, and spreading happiness. I know I will. And this episode or this podcast is my means to spread joy and happiness and light and enlightenment. There's so much going on with aggression and just meanness. But if I can leave you with one small positive thought, start your day with that. That can change everything for you and just basically change your day. Don't forget to check out Dale's Angels Inc. for the notes on this podcast, as well as other works by CQM and other contributors that are in work or in being edited right now. Also, check out my Instagram feed, Tenfro is Reading. You can check me out on Facebook, Tenfro is Reading Book Club, as well as my YouTube channel, Tenfro is Reading and Eating. And what I'm just chatting and streaming at TV Food Wine Girl on Twitter. Navigate to Writer's Block Coffee or shipabagofdicks.com. Use my promo code Tenfro Coffee or Tenfro Got Jokes, respectively, to get a percentage off of your order. Don't forget to drop me a line at tenfrowasreading@gmail.com. All non-trolling messages may be actually read online, and you can do the same if you are in Podbean or Anchor or wherever you listen to the podcast. And again, shedding light and positivity. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Until next time, bye.